Bonjour, and welcome to the Amateur Detective Club. This club is exactly how it sounds. A bunch of amateurs talking about their favorite mysteries. So if you encounter a real mystery or a murder, contact the proper authorities. Do not come to us. We do not know what we are doing. But enjoy the program. Allons-y. Let us begin.
I now call this meeting of the Amateur Detective Club to order. My name is Tristan Miller, the Saucy Sleuth.
I'm Melissa Maley, the Spy, and we're talking really fast today.
Yeah, I just don't. It's okay. Full disclosure, dat closure.
Oh no.
It's 9:30 at night. Melissa and I have voted today in New York. We're tired. I'm tired. I don't care. I have a bad attitude today. I'm grumpy.
We do care about you, listener.
Conceptually. Like, I don't know you. You can email us. We could get to know each other a little bit more, and then perhaps I'd care about you more.
I mean, the thing is, I've been here for an hour.
Yes. And that's our own damn fault. We had hot chocolate, which also made me sleepy. Mistakes were made. So today's show could be brought to you by Audible. Still haven't got the link, though. But if that old URL works, it's audibletrial.com/ADCpod.
Try it out.
Yeah, why not? Live a little. No, live Moss, as we discussed. Live more. The most. Moss-est.
More life.
Then also, we're on the Scavenger Network. Mm-hmm. You can go to scavengernetwork.com. Check out all their great podcasts, other content. They were doing some live streams for a while. Don't know if they're still doing those anymore. That was kind of more of a, felt like the height of lockdown.
Yeah. Thing. I think maybe intermittently they do a little.
Speaking of live streams, I've decided, for those of you who keep up with me on Twitter, speaking of live streams, one of these weeks I'm going to watch all the Twilight movies, having only seen the first one at the premiere. So I've never seen any of them after that. And that came out in like 2000, whatever. And I've never seen them. And I'm going to live stream me watching them. Because here's the thing. And this is so typical of me. I love Kristen Stewart with all my heart.
Mm.
She's amazing. She's just got engaged. Congratulations to her.
Yeah.
Love it. Fantastic. So I'm curious to see also, because at the time they were widely maligned, if you recall.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, how much of that is justified? Because the Catherine Hardwicke, who did the first one, did one of my favorite films, Lords of Dogtown.
Mm.
Great movie. Also did, was it The Ring? Did she do?
Maybe.
Anyway, she's a great filmmaker. So, like, what's the deal with that one not working?
So, I think the Sparkly Vampires, maybe, was a thing.
Yeah, but they're
that...
both cute, though. Like, what the
hell?
Yeah,
they're enjoyable. They're enjoyable books. Come at me. I don't care.
Have fun.
Have you read the books?
Oh, absolutely not.
Great. Even better.
I did go to the premiere of New Moon with my high school girlfriend.
New Moon is the second one?
Maybe, what's the...
The first one's called Twilight.
Yes, that one I'm aware.
There's Twilight, New Moon, The Sun Also Rises.
That's very funny.
I know, I couldn't get through it without laughing.
Oh, that's very good. Bella, I lost my cock in the war. What am I supposed to do? Oh, let's go watch some bulls. Hey! Ernest Hemingway was not from New York. That's very funny. So if you go to patreon.com/ADCpod, you can, there's some bonus content there as well.
I'm so proud of myself.
You should. That was very funny. I'm just letting you write it out. Go to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram /ADCpod. And that was very funny. That was like very good. Now, as a semi-professional comedian, I way to go coming up with that in the moment.
I have inspiration from
me.
Yeah, present company.
From what?
Present company.
Oh, what is? Oh, me.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, what show is that? Was the thing I was gonna say. I'm not familiar with that program. I'm sorry.
There is something about a sun in one of the titles. That's what happened in my brain.
But I went to the premiere of it, and I like, did you say premiere or premier?
Premiere.
Okay. Again, one of those things. Mm-hmm. Heard it. I went to the premiere of one of them with my high school sweetheart. And I did wear eyeliner because it was whatever one had prom. What book had the prom in it?
I think New Moon.
It was that one. And so there was like a photo shoot that was like dressed up like a prom in the Barnes & Noble. And you could like take a photo in front of it. I doubt it, but I hope she still has that Polaroid. I would love that. That would be adorable and fantastic.
I keep so much stuff from exes. If I had that Polaroid and then did not end up completely hating you afterwards, I would probably still have it.
You very patiently, last week before we started recording, let me play for you at least 5 Randy Newman songs.
At least 5.
At least 5 Randall Stewart Newman songs.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that probably has little to no interest for you.
So,
but
that's not exactly true. It's just listening to a song with a person is weird.
Isn't it though?
Yes.
Okay, now we've got it. Now we've got the topic of conversation. we struggled to find it, but yeah, okay. So it is.
Yeah.
A lot of people love it.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's come over, you know, we'll hang out, we'll listen to some music. I'm like, I would rather not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if it's a song I like, and this is what I did when I was listening, you know, I was asking you to listen to these songs with me.
Right.
I was commenting on the orchestration and like how he does this thing and that thing. And I was like, oh, if you hear, he goes to the 7 chord here, which is rare.
Right.
Like in You and Got a Friend in Me, he goes, you know, C, G, C. C, F sharp, then F, and then C again, which is like a why is there that slide there? Who does that? Like, that's the sort of thing.
No, and it is. It's interesting.
But, like, sitting and listening to you, it was weird.
So, the thing is, that would be something that I would, like, be really into on YouTube, where the person showing this to me can't see my reactions, because there's a certain amount of like, I'm showing you, I'm letting you listen to this thing that I like.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a certain amount of like reciprocity that's expected.
Yeah.
Whereas when I listen to music for the first time, a lot of the time I just want to like zone out and let it wash over me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a similar sensation, but almost worse, where, you know, someone shows you their favorite movie that you haven't seen.
So that can be worse or better.
I think it's better because there's at least a visual element. So that if you're not like paying attention to them, it's because you're watching the movie. Whereas if you're just like, I'm not looking at you, I'm not looking at your reaction because I want to listen to the music. Like I would close my eyes. If you were like, oh, listen to this new song, I'd be like,
Yeah, exactly. Whereas if you are watching a piece of media or, well, a TV show or a movie with my boyfriend who is really excited for you to watch it, you better be ready with your best reactions. Because if you like it quietly, he will think you hate it.
That's fascinating.
Yes, it is.
does he do the thing where you go, this is a great part? This... That is, now here's the thing, I will like have banter perhaps if I've seen the film several times. I'll be like, I've thought of a joke for this, but I'm never gonna go, hey, look, unless it's like an insane line of just like, pay attention to this, it's gonna be stupid.
All right, so we have Mabel in her great coat is going to find out what this appointment that Tim Kono was going to have.
Yes.
Was. And she's going to the train. And and we hear a voiceover. of a man.
Ba, ba, ba.
And he's following Mabel.
And he's tie-dye guy.
Yeah, he's the tie-dye guy. He's wearing his tie-dye hoodie, so we can't see who he is. And he says that the coat she is wearing is special, just like her. And she turns off into an alley, which is an interesting flex. She knows she's being followed, obviously.
Yes, yes.
And then he follows her into an alley, which is stupid. And she then turns around and pounces on him.
Yeah, with their knitting needle out.
And says, I will take you down to the bone, mother blanker. Are we still doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You, right. Great, great save.
Thanks.
You truly, like, the ball was in your hands. You grabbed it quick and right over the touchdown, or right over the line, folks.
Mm-hmm.
What is that line called? Is it just the end zone?
Yeah.
The zone where it ends.
Yeah. So then we get a cut to Oliver in the elevator with Charles talking into his phone about the podcast.
Mm-hmm. He does a twist.
Yes. Which is the title of the episode. It's called Twist.
Like we did last summer.
Exactly.
I knew somehow. Take her little hand and do the twist.
Yep.
That's one of the lyrics.
Mm-hmm. So he's talking into his phone about the fact that, because when last we left our heroes, his son Will has just said that Mabel Mara, she's bad news. She knew Tim and Kono. What?
You just said heroes. I'm like, I guess they are? Question mark.
That's just like a phrase.
Oh, no, I know. But it made me think of like, are any of these people heroic?
I mean, they're the protagonists.
They're the protagonists. They are trying to bring something to justice.
Yeah.
So that's admirable.
So Oliver is convinced Mabel is involved in the murder, and Charles is defending her like she's his daughter, which is basically, I think, what we're supposed to be getting from this. Like, that he's developed a kind of a paternal affection for her.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Much like the thing with the kid.
Lucy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So they're having a little argument, and Oliver's recording it for the podcast, and he's delighted because readers, listeners, mm-hmm. readers.
Ear readers.
Ear readers love conflict.
And Charles goes, you're a simpleton. And he goes, oh, I wasn't recording. Call me a simpleton again. He goes, you're a simpleton.
It's great.
Yeah.
Then we cut back to the alley, and Mabel is going to stab the tie-dye guy with the knitting needle and then realizes.
In the alley.
In the alley. Yeah.
But that was just red herring.
I just rewatched Clue.
Oh, really?
Night. Yeah, it was great.
As did always. It end differently?
Mm-hmm.
If you can believe what they did, they do it while they had different endings released in the theater. Is that what the case was?
I don't remember.
Because that would be great.
Mm. Yeah. Like The Mystery of Edwin Drood, the musical.
Yeah, dog. Just like that.
Have we not talked about The Mystery of Edwin Drood on the podcast before? We probably have when we watched Clue.
Here's the thing. Uh-huh. You and Tyler probably have.
Did you just leave in your brain?
I was probably thinking about Boba Fett. The mystery, I do love a mystery.
The Mystery of Edwin Drood was Charles Dickens' famous book that did not have, I mean, he died before he finished it.
Oh, rip.
Mm-hmm. to Charles Dickens.
It's Christmas season.
Yeah. I'm still spooky.
Nope. Christmas season starts October 30th. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. In my apartment, there's still pumpkins out.
Pumpkins aren't spooky. They taste good. They're eatable.
They're eatable. I also have ghosts and witches. And
what?
Okay.
Food.
Great.
Is the scariest.
Okay.
By what food are you made most frightened?
So, in what way do you mean, like, scared of eating it because it's terrible or to my taste buds? Or do you mean like, could it be like used in a jump scare? or like, which food is the most, has the most threatening aura?
Yes, that. Which food? I have an answer already primed. I have two.
Tell me.
But no, I want to hear yours.
Oh, gosh. I guess.
Foods with threatening auras should be a Twitter account. I mean, I'll make it.
It probably is.
If it doesn't exist already, it will by the end of tonight. I keep making Twitter accounts. I have a problem.
So, like one of those very spiky fruits that's really hard to open.
Like a pineapple?
Yeah, pineapple.
Like a lone pineapple. Imagine, if you will, a world going through the spooky door. Imagine a pineapple sitting alone on a TV tray in a warehouse. Spooky, right?
Yeah, it is.
It's weird.
Or like a whole fish. Like one of those really creepy, scary ones.
Ooh, but that bleeds into, is that a spooky animal?
Well, if it's dead, it's a food.
Damn, so true. Real talk. If an animal's dead, it's probably food, huh? I use the modifier probably, so.
I know.
To save face. But you can eat anything if you want. Think about that. You ever think about that? You can eat anything if you want to.
I have thought about so many things.
20 mile run, you say.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. So the most threatening auras to me, number one, green jello, a la Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh, sure.
A la, it's very frightening. Mm-hmm. That gag, so good.
Yeah.
But also jello is gross. fight me, old people. I don't think old people want to eat jello. It's just that they can't eat other crunchier foods anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. The other thing, banana pudding. To me, has a threatening aura. Banana pudding with like the little Nilla wafers.
Yeah.
Frightening. Off-putting to me. Ah, okay. Off-putting.
Off-putting.
Oh, that's fun.
Okay. So.
So she's jumped on this man. She has the needle. She's about to stab.
It's Oscar.
And he goes out of his trash can, and he's like, ah, I hate Mondays, whatever Oscar the Grouch says. Big sleepover energy tonight. I love it. So
we know that the I Hate Mondays creature is Garfield.
What?
The orange lasagna cat.
What? I was joking because I thought it was Heathcliff.
No, it's not Heathcliff.
I know.
Oh.
Look over on that shelf. There's two tomes of Garfield comics. It's fine. I was obsessed with Garfield as a kid. I would like go in a little box with a blanket and pretend to be Garfield. I told that to one of my roommates one time. She's also a friend of mine. She goes, what is wrong with you? I was like, I was imaginative. I don't know what to tell you. If you were told you had an overactive imagination as a kid, what that translates to is you're an anxious adult.
She's very excited to see Oscar. He's been out for a week.
Out of prison.
Yeah, out of prison, because he was put in prison for the murder of the blonde. What's her name? Yeah, that person. And we get big, like, romantic vibes.
You
from
want
me.
To kiss me. You want to date me. Have you ever seen Miss Congeniality?
I have not. I know. It's one of those that you would think I had seen.
Now, here's the thing. My mouth was already slightly open, but it did get more open.
Yeah, it did.
It's really good. It was one of my favorite films growing up.
Yeah, I've just not seen it. I don't know.
Well, we'll have to fucking... Yeah. Pardon me. We'll have to fix that.
Yeah. So, big reunion. Very excited to see each other.
I want to say this. Yeah, yes. Last week, you said, who do you think tie-dye guy is? And I said Oscar, and I was right.
You were right. Yeah.
I was right, because I was like, when I pushed play in the episode, I'm like, you know, it'd be dope. Mm-hmm. As if it was Tim Kono.
That would be
wild.
Yes.
Like, that's where I would go. It's like, what's the least expected thing?
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, no, I faked my own suicide because of the data that it takes that drink. You know, and it's a logical progression from there. But I was like, could you imagine?
Oh, my God.
And it's not. It's Oscar.
No, it's Oscar. So we cut back to Charles and Oscar arguing in the...
Charles and... Oliver.
Oh, boy.
See?
Yeah, you're right. So they're still arguing about Mabel, and
they're trying to find her.
Yeah. And there's a man, the doorman has found Charles's hat, returns it to him.
Was that set up in a previous episode?
I don't remember.
Because it happens, and I was like, this feels like it's a callback.
I know. But, like, why did that happen? I don't remember. But he gets his hat back, and they see Mabel get in the car with Oscar.
And he goes, it's a tie-dye guy.
Yeah. And Oliver's like, all right, well, we got to follow them. I'll go get my car, and you follow them on foot, and then I'll come pick you up.
And he says, which is a wild thing. And... later on in the chase scene, he goes, I can't keep up with a Camry, which is very funny.
It's so funny.
But before Oliver runs off, he goes, you have a car? Yeah, yeah, I'll come pick you up. He goes, you pay for parking here? And the way I recreated it with my body, but the way Steve says it and he gesticulates, you pay for parking? It's so funny. It's so weird. These two weird old men.
Oh, yeah. It's great. It's super wonderful. And then we get the theme. And it's lovely as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh. It's so freaking great. The chase scene. What did I say?
Just freaking, I know that we like are bound by the rules of the podcast to not cuss that much, but just hearing freaking is so funny.
All right. Do I not say that a lot?
You do. And I find it quite charming and very funny.
Okay.
It's just like, it's just something I've never considered saying since like I was 18.
I know, I'm horribly uncool.
Well, I still like you.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
I don't know. What is cool? Cool is a myth. Cool is, you can only be cool if you were smoking and doing cocaine in the 70s. So, like, you don't even shoot for that. Like, those people, they're old or dead. So they're not cool anymore anyway.
Well, that's true.
So.
I always thought of cool as, like, confident, put together, and doesn't trip over things.
That just sounds normal.
Well.
I'm sorry to dunk.
See.
Do you trip a lot? I've never seen you trip before in my life.
Really?
Not to my recollection.
Because,
Other than over your words. Because of my beauty.
That is why. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not because of my ADHD, I'm sure.
I'm sorry, did you say something I wasn't paying attention? Yeah. There it is. Okay.
The commercial break is over. And... he says the wonderful line about not being able to chase a Camry. Then he hides behind a woman who absolutely should have punched him in the face.
I mean, I hear you, but also, like, I've been in a situation where someone's, like, really close behind me. I'm like, I don't want any confrontation.
Yeah, no. I mean, on the subway.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So he eventually... He eventually gets to a hot dog stand.
Pretzel stand. Both.
Oh, I thought it was a... Yeah, no, you're right. It's a pretzel stand.
Because he goes, what toppings do they have? It's like, what do you mean they have salt and mustard?
Yeah.
And because he's on the phone. They're on the phony with each other.
Yeah. And he says, is it Dante? Tell him Oliver wants his usual.
Which is chef's kiss.
And then it is Dante.
It is Dante. Says,
Oliver wants as usual, and Dante nods at him. Okay.
But that sets up a really great thing, because Oliver overhears him, like, ordering a pretzel, And he goes, oh, and then after the interaction, he goes, are you still in 88th?
Right.
Because he knows exactly where he is.
Yeah.
Very well orchestrated.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually beautiful. But the ordering of the pretzel during a chase scene is amazing.
Truly a very Bill Clinton SNL bit-esque bit of going to McDonald's mid-race.
Yeah. So then Oliver finally pulls up in this yellow...
Beautiful,
yeah,
weird old car from 1973.
Yeah, yeah. And Rich would know exactly what it is. I don't know.
Also, it's the reason they were lovely. Able to. Sorry, go ahead.
It's lovely. That's all.
The reason they were able to catch up with Mabel and Oscar is the fact that traffic happened in New York, which is also very believable and good.
Yeah. Oh, and what's that in the ashtray is something that
a jelly bean from 1963.
Yeah. And then Oliver sees it and he's like, and he puts it in his mouth. He's like, oh, it's a fen-phen.
What is a fen-phen?
I thought it was a drug.
Oh, because he does mention like maybe it's a diet pill as well. And
right.
After which he goes, he puts the pretzel to the side. He goes, I don't need this. Like, as if, you know, the man, he's living off of dips.
Yeah. Goodness. So Mabel asks Oscar what he's been up to for a whole week without seeing her.
Fen-phen is a weight loss drug.
There you go.
Yeah.
And he says, well, I got a haircut. And I ate decent food, and that's basically it.
I was out of prison.
Yeah. And then he mentions, well, I was in the building the night that Tim died, my first day back, and I can't believe that he died on my first day back. And he's like, oh, and Mabel says, oh, you are tie-dye guy. Of course you are.
And he says, the reason I was going upstairs was to see you because you were the first person other than my father I wanted to see after I got out of prison.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I was going up the stairs.
Yes.
And he's like, in case you were wondering. And I'm like, okay.
So then Oliver and Charles are arguing about Mabel more.
Yes.
Oliver thinks that she has something to do with it. She was helping because she wanted to throw the scent off from herself.
Charles and Oliver arguing about whether or not Mabel is an accomplice to murder or a murderer herself. And Oliver gives this beautiful speech. Mm-hmm. He goes, I know it's hard to think that she was so duplicitous because you're so closed off and she's allowed you to open up and trust people again.
Yeah.
And then... He was recording it for the pause. He goes, that sounded fake. I need to record it again. And he goes, you.
Yeah. So we do cut to a recent memory of Charles talking to Mabel about tie-dye guy and her trying to convince him that tie-dye guy wasn't someone that they needed to be interested in.
Yes.
And it looks really suspicious, like she was his accomplice.
Mm-hmm.
And they were plotting Tim's murder.
Yes, and Charles is thinking about that at the behest of Oliver. Because he's like, think about it, really. Because you want her to be a good person. And so there's that, which doesn't bode well for old Mabel.
Right.
So we cut to Mabel and Oscar again, right? And this is the scene, I'm in love with this woman. She has a crooked nose. It goes off to the right a little bit, and I was like, I saw that. Like, this is how you know, like, I'm enraptured with Selena Gomez, unfortunately, where I'm like, oh, her nose is crooked. Like,
oh, goodness,
meow. Do you want a yartz?
Well. Mabel then tells Oscar that she's always wanted to kill someone with a knitting needle.
That's true, and should be the lifelong dream of many people. And then they talk about...
Charles and Oliver.
Yes. And Oscar recognizes him as the Brazos guy.
Yeah. And she says, I think he still thinks he's in the show.
Which is true. Yeah. Is it here where Brazos calls Mabel?
Yes.
And she answers like, yeah, I'm...
She doesn't answer yet.
This one, okay.
In the first one, she does not answer. She doesn't answer at first. And then Oliver is looking up on his iPad.
Oh, right.
And figures out that in 2010, a girl named Zoe Cassidy was pushed off the roof of the Arconia.
Yeah. And Charles doesn't remember it at all.
Right.
And he's like, why? And he goes, what medication was he on?
Prednisone.
Prednisone.
Which is a steroid.
Yeah. And he's like, I made me fat and it made me ruin my memory.
Yeah. And Oliver does a search for Charles Hayden Savage, fat.
Mm-hmm. And it's a fat joke. And he says, yeah. You look like you were wearing a turtleneck. It's very unkind.
Yeah. So the car's name is Aphrodite.
The car's name is Aphrodite.
Yes. And Oliver got it when he was shooting a sequel to something that shouldn't have a sequel.
It was some musical.
Yeah.
That was like absurd. It was a good joke, but I can't remember it.
Yeah.
I was going to say Grease, but I'm like, oh, no, that actually...
It happened.
No, we all lost that day.
But... but yeah, the car is making all sorts of weird noises and smells.
But then what I think happens next is Charles successfully calls Mabel. And she lies and she says, I'm chilling at Washington Square Park.
That's right.
I gotta go. Goodbye. Click. And so Oliver and Charles are like, why is she lying? And then also Oscar is like, oh, you had to lie to your boyfriend? Because you're way feeling about me. And she goes, well, I don't have a boyfriend. And so it's like, ooh.
Yeah.
And then a sequence happens where they realize they're going to Long Island and Steve Martin, Charles Hayden Savage, has a phenomenal line.
Yes.
He says, the first time out of Manhattan in 5 years and I'm going to Long Island. Very funny.
Oh, so funny.
Very good. Is it Long Island or Staten Island?
Long Island.
It is Long Island. Okay.
Yes.
Very funny. And then they go off about like, have you ever been up to upstate? No, yada, yada. And then they get somehow these two old men get onto what STIs they've acquired in various.
Yeah.
In various cities, upstate New York and the tri-state area. And they end up like improvising a little song, and it's really fun and cute, actually.
Yeah.
But then it's cut short by Oliver going, oh, they're turning. And that as well, because they like start to get into a rhythm, and then the abrupt stop of that rhythm is very fun and funny. It's like a nice little joke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're riffing on each other.
Nasty.
Yeah.
I was like, you riff on a subject, you riff with someone.
Yeah, they're riffing with each other.
It's like jazz.
Uh-huh.
Maybe. Yeah. It's about the jokes you don't say. That's a Mike Kaplan joke. And I said his joke, so there you go. It's about the jokes you shouldn't say because they don't belong to you.
Yep.
So they pull off on a gas station.
So Mabel shows Oscar the note.
Yes.
And
this is why they turn off.
Yes. And Oscar goes, hey, you remember these tattoos that all of us have? And she's like, yeah, what of it? Who gave us these tattoos?
What of it?
Yeah.
I could not care to continue the conversation. What of it?
What of it? And she says, yeah, my cousin Tavo, is that
the nickname? Yeah, you nailed it.
Tavo gave us these tattoos, and he says, okay, come with me on this journey. What is your cousin Tavo's full name,
given name? Yeah.
And it's Gustavo. And maybe his last name is the same as hers. Is that
it
right?
Is.
It's Mora. It's Mora, Gustavo. Yeah. Mora. Right. So it's Gustavo Mora. And she's like, I cannot believe I did not connect these dots before.
And then she throws herself out of the car, if you can believe it, out of embarrassment.
They just, you know, go directly there.
Yeah. And that's when...
That's when they go to Long Island instead of New Jersey. Aphrodite is not behaving.
Yeah.
Oh, they're running out of gas?
They're running out of gas, and... He goes, I'll put $5 in the tank. He goes, why not fill it up? He goes, where are we going? To the moon? And he says it like that.
Yeah.
To the moon?
And this very nice gentleman's like, you might want to pop the hood.
Because it's smoking.
Yeah. And
and as we all know, that's bad for your health.
Right. And it's bad for a car's health, too.
Yes.
So, and then he recognizes...
You're never going to be a monster truck.
He recognizes Charles as Brazos, and he's like, you cannot drive this.
No.
You just should not drive this.
Yeah, my cousin will tow it. He could use the work.
Yeah.
But my name's Lucian, and I'll drive you. And he goes, well, can you help us follow those two people? And he goes, I follow people all the time, which is like, okay.
What? Yeah.
And this is intercut with a sequence wherein, because we're at a gas station, obviously. Yeah. And Mabel and Oscar are getting snacks or something.
Yeah.
And then Mabel embarrasses Oscar by like going, oh, do you have this lube? And I want a lighter and some Spanish fly. And do you have any thin
extra long condoms?
Because last time they just fell off. And so she takes all this stuff and like is pretending as if she's going to purchase it. And then they go, she's, you know, they kind of go, ah, ha, ha, la, la, la. And the clerk is left there and he literally goes, like, she shrugs, like, aren't you going to buy this? You just touched all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's very good.
It is. It's very cute and funny.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could get away with that.
You could.
I wish I had like the...
Gumption.
To do that to a clerk. The thing is, I'm a good actress. I'm a terrible liar. Which is... A thing.
They're different, yeah.
It's a thing. It's
completely
different
skill sets.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if they weren't, then all good liars would just be actors.
Right.
Whereas some of them are just bad parents.
Correct. So Charles and Oliver get in the car with Lucian, and then his cousin comes in the car, and it's Roy Wood Jr., which is fun.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. I was like, I know him.
Yeah. Yes, he is on The Daily Show.
Yes.
And he's also a stand-up comic.
Yes.
And they have, they have cactuses.
Yep, they have a bunch of cactuses, a bunch of succulents, a bunch of greenery in it. And it turns out that they, too, have a podcast.
Yeah.
It's
called Yard Dogs.
The Heart of Cultural Homies.
Yeah.
And Oliver is very condescending to them. I was like, oh, that's very sweet, giving all the college try. And he goes, yeah, we were just nominated on iTunes and Spotify as one of the best new podcasts. And they're like, oh, well, we have an in with Tina Fey's character. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, we're on her network. She's on the show all the time.
She's kind of like the third host, practically.
Yeah, the third yard dog.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great, really, putting Oliver in his place.
Yes. It's so satisfying.
Yeah, it really is. Oh, goodness. It's really fun to watch them sitting there with a big cactus on their lap.
And I do like how both of them they're okay with Charles, because Charles cracks a joke. He goes, like, I didn't realize we were in a like a greenhouse. Another word for greenhouse that's funnier. And they laugh at it. And, you know, then they begin to explain the podcast. But then anytime Oliver opens his mouth, they're like, shut the up.
Yeah.
It's just so, it's such a fun choice, because that happens a lot in life.
Right. And also, it's nice to have someone on Charles' side, because in the building, everyone likes Oliver, mm-hmm. except for Bunny, who likes nobody, it seems.
I don't know. Bunny is Oliver's friend. That's why she said it so nicely.
So she said. But yeah, so everyone seems very charmed by Oliver in the building. So it's nice that someone likes Charles.
Because the reaction he generally gets is like, I'm Brazos, isn't that neat? And that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, other than Jan, who, of course, has paid him good attention. But yeah, it's nice to have these strangers like Charles. So then they get to the tattoo parlor.
And surf shop.
And surf shop.
Which
why
is
not?
Like, what? I guess Long Island has surfing, and that makes sense, but what? You ever be on the train, the F train to Coney Island, and you just see some guy with a surfboard?
That has not happened to me.
It's so often. That's so funny. Often to me. And I'm like, what? Wait, what? What? What?
Yeah.
No. Anyway, they go to this tattoo parlor.
Yeah. And they sit outside for a bit because Oscar has realized that he can't do this.
Yeah, he doesn't want to deal with the thing that got him into prison, it turns out, first thing.
Yeah.
Turns out that he doesn't want to do that.
Right.
Which is very reasonable.
He's like, I just want to sit on a beach with a girl and eat ice cream.
Which, like, who doesn't?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, that does sound pretty awesome.
Slaps.
Yeah.
That's the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. And she says, I'm sorry, I have to have these answers. I need to know. And he's like, all right, I have to not.
Yeah. She goes, I have to do this. And he goes, I have to not. And then she just goes in.
Yeah.
It's a nice little musical phrase of dialogue.
It is. Yeah.
Not the most natural, but it's nice. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's poetic.
Right. Yeah. She's like, all right, I'll take a train back. I do want to do those things with you.
She does say, I'll take a train back home. In like the most, you found a stray dog, like doe-eyed, very cute way. And you could see like Oscar's like, there's like smoke coming out of his ears because he just doesn't know what to do.
Oh, I would do that shit. I have done that shit.
Oh, 100%. As well you should. It's your right as a woman. but it's very funny. Like, no, when I say smoke coming out of his, because he's just like, he doesn't know what to do. He's not angry. He's
right,
like,
right. No, I know.
No.
Right, right. Like, he's, he is imploding with indecision.
Yes. What you said, rather than my, oh, noise.
Uh-huh.
Who trips over their warping now, Melissa?
Oh, dear.
See, you're eloquent.
Oh, thanks. That's nice to hear. He also reveals that he wants to start a yoga studio because he has picked it up in prison.
And he's certified.
Yeah. Go for him.
Also, he admits,
mm-hmm.
No, wait, that's later.
Okay. So, Charles and Oliver enter the tattoo parlor. And she says, what are you doing here?
That's so weird. You followed me.
Yeah.
And Charles goes, no, it's weird that you lied to us after we all said we wouldn't. And he goes, do you know Tim Kono? And she says, yes.
Right. She stops lying.
Mm-hmm.
She.
And
the jig is up.
Yeah. Up with this jig I will not put. And he goes, well, did you have anything to do? And she goes, really? And he goes, no, I'm just confused as to what's happening.
Yeah.
And Oliver, again, very condescending, goes, he's really hurt by this. I'm made of sterner stuff, but like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And he's holding a microphone of some kind the whole time.
So she says, Tim was my friend, or he used to be, and I think that that's why I'm so interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Oscar has broken down, has purchased lots of ice cream, and walked into the tattoo parlor.
Yeah, because he's like, I don't know what you like anymore.
Yeah.
And then he turns, and then Charles goes, I saw you walk up the stairs the night of Tim's death. And he goes, I saw you shoot an alligator with a pound of cocaine in its mouth.
Yeah.
And there's like, they're like, wait. And he goes, Brazos was the only one of the three DVD sets in prison. And now here's the thing about this next part. that Oliver says. I had to pause it when after he says this line.
Mm.
For at least a minute, I was laughing so hard. I literally went over to my bed and hit it. Because he goes, God, prison sounds terrible.
Because of the Brazos DVDs.
So mean.
It's so mean.
For no reason. Other than he's annoyed that he's not successful. But like, oh my God, it was so cruel. And the way he says it, and the fact that he also then walks towards Oscar to grab one of the ice creams from him. It's a perfect moment. And I did. And then I was rewatching it as you were walking over. And it was still just as funny the third time.
Oh, yeah.
So it's good. Oh, my goodness. A plus Marty Short. Ugh.
Yep. And Charles says, you were going up to Tim's apartment that night, weren't you? And Oscar says, yeah, I was. Mabel, I lied to you. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to see you. I was going to see Tim. But I wasn't going to kill him. I was going to maybe mess him up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but I had no desire to kill him. And then I heard the gunshot and, you know,
mm-hmm.
panicked because I just got out of prison.
then Oliver gets a brain freeze.
And he says, put your thumb on the roof of your mouth. And he does it and it works. He says, tie-dye guy is genius.
I've never heard that trick before.
Oh, yeah. Putting your tongue on the roof of your mouth also helps.
I've always heard rub your temples.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, he goes, tie-dye guy is a genius. And then
Tavo walks in. And says, oh, Tim was murdered, so he was right. Tim was right. He knew.
And they're like, what?
Yeah. He says, listen, Tim knew he was going to be murdered. He was trying to take down a black market jewelry dealer named Angel.
Boy. And he goes, and Charles was like, he was a banker. It doesn't sound particularly. And then Mabel just throws all the diamonds that have been in her bag on the pool table, which why is the tattoo parlor? Of course, it has a pool table.
Yeah,
but there's all these diamonds. And then, of course, Oliver gets another brain freeze.
Yeah.
Which I didn't think was as funny the second time because he says, brain freeze. Whereas if he had just done the motion, we would have got it. He didn't need to say it.
Yeah.
It would have been funnier.
And then that's the end of the episode.
Yep. 4.8 out of 5, as close to a 5 as possible. Very enjoyable. Again, I had to pause the episode for a minute to control my laughter. The whole pretzel bit, the fact that I remember it very well is also indicative of, like,
mm-hmm.
the quality. And I also remember the jokes that were said. Also, it's fun to see people in a pickle. Pickle. Also, they drive down a road in New York that cuts through Central Park.
Mm.
And I have walked down that road, and I was like, "Oh, that's so nice. It's nice to be in New York in the autumn."
Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be January.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I meant now, but also yes.
Oh yeah, it is nice to be in New York in the autumn.
Mm-hmm.
I ran through Central Park the other day.
Oh wow! The whole thing.
Yes, pretty much.
Damn.
I was running 20 miles. I had a lot of long way to go.
Where would I run if I wanted to run 20 miles?
Well, I ran from my apartment over the Queensboro Bridge into Manhattan, around Central Park, and then back over the Queensboro Bridge.
I'm literally gagging. So, what did you think of it?
I'd give it a 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's a great episode. Really, really crisp, good bits. But like, really moves along and establishes lots of character.
Mm-hmm. It's also fun seeing Mabel not grumpy.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, she likes a boy.
Yeah, it's very clear. And it was clear that there was interest when they were kids, too.
Yes. I'll also say this, which is, I think, very admirable of the show. Other than the two leads of Martin Short and Steve Martin, most of the cast has been not white people.
Yeah.
Which has been, I was like, this is great, because it was notable in this episode because they were interacting with a lot of people outside the building.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's great. They clearly, like, made an effort.
Yeah.
To do that. And I believe are continuing to do so from what I've been able to glean from the casting calls I've seen. But yeah, I appreciated that. The bits are good. Everyone looked great. She's in an iconic outfit with her little turtleneck.
Mm-hmm.
Tie-dye guy's got his tie-dye thing going on. Which was like when they were in the gas station, I was like, we've all seen this couple.
Yeah.
This woman who's like immaculately dressed and then this guy's in a hoodie.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay. Steve Martin wears a hat. Always enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone looks very cute.
Dope fits.
Yeah. It's a good episode. I'm excited for next week.
Yeah, and this was the first one I hadn't seen before.
Okay.
So.
Right, because you didn't know last week when we were talking who Tie-Dye Guy was.
No, I was just good at. I was just smart.
Mm-hmm.
I used reason to.
Yeah, yeah. No. It's a wild ride.
I'm excited. The jewel thief thing wasn't exactly like unexpected, but it's an interesting turn.
It is a really interesting component to everything.
Well, until next time.
Our
remember to spade and neuter your
but you don't have to take my word for it.
Gavel sound.